Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. They got beautiful pack film, color neg, chrome, black and white. And what's really cool right now is the Instax. Instant cameras and film is in the country. You got to check it out. www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all of your color film, your black and white, your neg, all the cool stuff going on, even digital files to be printed. Check them out, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5, the place to have black and white turned into chrome. This is unbelievable. When you see the Latitude, the D-Max, the dynamic range, what you can get out of black and white film that's turned into chrome, this is an unbelievable process, and you will freak out when you get your film back. You got to check it out, www.dr5.com. And our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder. Check them out. And of course, our media partners of www.apug.org, the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web for all things analog photography. You definitely want to check them out. Great deal. $30 a year for membership. You will not get support like this anywhere on the web. We got a great show today. We have with us Leo Patron. Leo is a wedding and lifestyle photographer out of Salt Lake City, Utah. We're going to talk to Leo about his photography, how he got into photography, how they're actually developing and scanning their own film in-house. It's pretty cool stuff going on. Leo, how you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. How's it going, Scott?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. I really appreciate you joining us today. We want to talk about Leo, your photography, you shooting film, and all this great stuff going on. So, Leo, to start with, give our listeners a little background on yourself, and then we'll get into some prior stuff and what's going on now.
Awesome. Well, I'm originally from Argentina, and I moved to the United States when I was 14. Now I live in Utah with my wife. We've been married for about 5 years. Yeah, lives in Utah, 20 minutes south of Salt Lake City. I shoot mostly weddings. I do some commercial work and family portraiture. Yeah, it's all captured on films.
Very cool. So, Leo, tell me about your original interest in photography. Were you doing photography when you were in Argentina? Tell me about how you got started, got the bug for photography.
Actually, my grandpa was a photographer, and my dad always loved photography. He always was around with cameras, but I was never interested until I went on a road trip with some friends, and one of my friends had a Canon 81, and I actually just grabbed a camera and shot like two or three rolls. It's like, wow, it felt great, because I've always been into music, and I always like to shoot Super 8 videos, and to me it felt like, for a creative person, it's like endless possibilities. And actually got back from the trip, took the rolls to the lab, and I got the prints back. I was like so excited because it was shot with a 50mm lens, 1.4, and the depth of field was amazing because I shot everything wide open. An hour later, I was at the local camera store, and I bought my own Canon 81 program, and the rest is history. I've been shooting film ever since. It's amazing. I love film.
Now, this is when you were in Argentina. Did you start shooting, and you got your first camera, and you were over here? Tell me how that transition was.
I started shooting here. When I was a teenager, I was more into music because I play in many, many bands. And then I was into shooting Super 8 videos because actually all my friends were into skateboarding and all that stuff, and I was not very good at it. So I just decided to hang out with them, but I shoot Super 8 videos of them. That's kind of how my transition to photography, because I was into Super 8 film before, and that's how my love for film started.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about shooting Super 8 film. I mean, that is film. You're doing analog capture, but you're doing motion. How'd you get the Super 8 bug?
Actually, I have older friends that were film majors, and I just found a camera, and I just kept asking questions, just being curious. I think everything I've been interested in is just like out of curiosity, and then I just watched Super 8 film, and then I was like, well, I'd love to do this, and then I just picked up a roll, a camera, put it in, send it to the store, develop it, and my parents had an old projector, put it on the wall, and it was like, I just fell in love with it. Because, I don't know, it's just the magic of film. You can film anything, and it looks awesome.
Are you still shooting any motion? You still shooting Super 8?
Yeah. I still shoot, like, family stuff, just, like, personal stuff for fun. Actually, I shot a wedding of a friend in Super 8 last year. I shot, like, four or five rolls. It's just great. It's a great medium, and it just feels timeless. I don't know. It's just kind of nostalgic.
Yeah, I mean, it is very cool, and I see there's such a resurgence here of people that were shooting video are now doing Super 8 movies. And it's just amazing to me on how much money people are charging to have a Super 8 movie done at their wedding. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Not too many people have the cameras anymore. I was talking to my dad the other day. It's like, how can you still shoot that? Because for some people, they think it's gone. Most people think that it's not available because you can't see them in regular stores. So people assume that that's gone. if people knew that it was available, I think more people would shoot it because it's fun. It's a fun gift for a friend or just shoot like little kids. It's a fun gift, I think. And it's pretty easy to do, actually. You can find that camera on eBay for $5, all automatic, and then shoot it. Because, I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's the magic of the Super 8. If it's blurry, it looks great. Or you can get more technical and get a more professional camera and do also a great thing. So
let's talk about gear here. We're going to get into more about the weddings and this fine art stuff and the look of your photography. Uh-huh. But let's talk about what's Leo shooting with today. What are you shooting with gear-wise?
Gear-wise, for weddings, I shoot with a Kontak 645 for a medium format, and that's what I use for some getting ready shots, portraits of people, and some certain details. And for the rest, I use a Nikon F5. I have two bodies. The ones I use the most with the Nikon is a size 51.4. I just love the look of the size, amazing. And it's comparable to the Kontak since it's the same brand lens, so I just love that lens. And then I use a 20mm 2.8, the Nikon, and then I use an 81.4 lens.
Yeah?
Yeah, those are my main three lenses. I don't use any long lens, I mean longer than that. I just like to get close to people, interact with people.
Well, of course, with the contacts, you're probably shooting, what, with the 80-20?
Yeah, that's the only lens I shoot with.
And then with the Nikon, I guess your pick would be 50mm. If you had any choice, it'd be grab your Zeiss and you can keep the rest.
I just like the 50 and the 80 because I like to be close to people. When I shoot their portraits, I like to be up in their face. That's what I love about weddings, just interacting with people, getting to know people. I could probably shoot a whole wedding with 50. If I had to, that would be my choice, just the 50 or the 80mm lens.
You're a pretty young guy. How old are you, Leo?
I'm 26.
Okay, you're 26. You're a pretty young cat. You would think that, okay, Leo would be all into digital and all this Nikon D3 stuff and D3X and cool stuff and Photoshop and all these kinds of cool things. Before we get into your choice of film, why are you shooting film? Why are you digging film?
I think the reason why I shoot film is I love the look of it. I just love the color of film. And I just love the process. Just I can do everything in camera. I can just do the exposure and develop it and scan it, and it looks great. I don't have to run any actions, or I don't have to think, oh, what am I going to do with the image? Am I going to make it black and white? Or am I going to make it, I don't know, like run certain action? It's just, I know how it's going to look. I just love that if I expose myself in a certain way, in my mind I can see it. So that's what I love about film. I feel like it's great colors as well, and it's soft, it's timeless. That is a great look.
So let's get into that. Let's get into what your choice is for film stock. We have beautiful stuff from Fuji. We got beautiful stuff from Kodak. There's Ilford with black and white. There's even some other options for some other off-brand films. But what does Leo like to shoot?
Actually, I develop my own film, so I feel like I have more quality control over what my images will look like because I scan it as well. Actually, in the past, I've been shooting 400 VC, which is like great color saturation. Recently, I started shooting Fujifilm as well. I just love the 400H and the 800Z. They're great film stocks as well. And since I'm shooting Fuji, I have a developer with Fuji Hunt Conversion. It's an Aritsu FV30. And using Fujifilm from the beginning until the end, it looks great.
So, Leo, tell me about your film stock. And we're going to get into this later, that you're developing and scanning your own film. You have a very unique workflow that nobody else really gets to do because they send this off to a lab. There's Richard Photo Lab. There's a lot of great labs in the country that a lot of people are sending their film to. But you have, I think, even one step more that you get to control everything from capture to development to scanning. So let's talk about your choice of capture. There's Kodak film, there's Fuji film, there's Ilford for black and white, Kodak's got black and white. Do you even shoot black and white? Let's talk about your film stock.
Okay, yeah, I use different kinds of film stock. I recently started shooting Fuji film. I love the 400H because it has great color. The famous Fuji colors is gray, green, like saturated colors. It's a great film. And also, it's great for any type of lighting situation. For a wedding especially, if you can shoot it any time of the day in the shade, in the sun, backlit, tungsten, it works great. It's a great film. And I like the 800Z for low light situation. I like it. It's more saturated. Another reason why I like the 400H is because I can overexpose it and has a great latitude. With the 800Z, I have to be, in my opinion, a little closer to the true ISO. I wouldn't push it as much as the 400H, but Fujifilm, yeah, I make great film. Also, I used to shoot the 400VC as well. It just has a great saturation. I think it tends to be more saturated in the red, and the yellow seems to be. And the fact that I'm scanning my own film, I have control over it so I can make it look the way I want. So, yeah, they're both great films. I also shoot a 3200 TMC from Kodak. it's a great film because I can push it to 6400. I can shoot almost with no light. So it's a wonderful film they make.
So when you're shooting the TMZ 3200, when you shoot it at 64, do you actually pull it one stop when you develop it, or you develop it just like it's 32?
Light meter to 6400.
Right.
And then I push it to 6400 developing.
Okay, so you actually push it the one stop when you develop it.
Right. Yeah, when I'm developing, that's right.
So do you find that you typically like to shoot more color, and if you want to do black and white, you'll do a conversion after the fact once it's scanned, or are you a purist where I want black and white, it's going to be black and white?
Yeah, when I want black and white, I have black and white film. That's why I have two bodies on me. One body will have black and white film, and one body will have color. I don't want to waste too much time deciding what's going to be what. I just shoot it straight.
Very, very cool there. So let's talk about this process of you developing your own stuff. Let's talk about your developing machine. What are you using to develop your film? Are you doing this stuff by hand? You got a Jobo? What are you doing?
For black and white, I have a Jobo. And for the color, I have Noritsu QSV30 for the C41 film.
Let's talk about developing the stuff with Noritsu, the QSV30. I know that you do a lot of work with our buddy Jonathan. Did you find that you were just having problems with outside labs? Was it a deal of like, I can buy this machine for $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 and save the money in a month? You guys shoot a lot of film. So what's your guys' process, your thought behind, okay, I'm just going to get my own developing machine?
Yeah, the priority would be to have control over the stuff. In the past, I used to send my film to another lab, and sometimes it would look perfect. And then the next week, the colors would be a little off, and then I would have to spend time on the computer fixing the images to make it look the way I want. And so that having our own machine, we just take care of that. I scan my own film, and I just run it. I know the chemistry is right on, and then I scan, and I know the colors will be perfect. I always wanted to have complete control because I love the fact of shooting film. I just enjoy the whole process of it. I love the idea of shooting it, developing, and also scanning it. It's just like it's me all the way through. It's not just me shooting it. It's just a whole process. This is the reason why the color looks that way is because I did it. To me, it's just a great feeling. It's like I'm part of the whole process.
So you're using a QSV30 C41 Noritsu processor. Now, this thing's the size of like a big photocopier, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that using that type of processor, you've seen any difference in its development of a C41 process than if you sent it to a lab that was using like a big dip and dump machine or even doing it yourself on a Jobo?
The lab that I used to use before, they used to have a dip and dunk. And actually, I don't see that much difference because every time I stop using it, I clean the roller so make sure that there's no scratches. And that way, we have great control on the machine. And that way, it just works perfect for us. I don't know about other labs, since they're running tons of film, if the case would be the same. Because if you get the machine dirty, you might scratch the film, and also the chemistry could be off. I don't say it works for everybody, but in our situation, it works great. It's just to have our own developer, because we just make sure the machine runs properly at all times.
How often do you have to change chemical? How often do you have to update it? How does that work with your process of being up on the machine? Is it real hard to keep on top of this deal?
Oh, no. For us, it works great. We run control strips before we run and after we run. It's actually pretty simple to run because it's a smart machine. It lets you know when you need to add certain chemistry. The only thing is you have to know when you run the control strip, you have to do the plotting. You have to know that part. So to make sure if you're low on certain things, that's the only thing you have to know what you're doing on that sense. You have to make sure you don't contaminate the chemistry.
So what's it cost you guys to keep this thing running? I mean, are you putting hundreds of rolls a month through this? Can someone buy one of these? Because I know if you look around, you can find one of these V30 developers for $1,500, $2,000, maybe a little bit more, depending on where and what. But what does it cost to keep this thing running? And do you fire it up once a week? Is it bad for the machine to only run it once a week? How do you guys do that kind of stuff?
It's just depending on how the control strips are coming out. I usually try to run, at least no matter what, once a week, just to keep the machine running. And actually, sometimes I turn the machine every day, just to keep the chemistry running. Yes, I run it every day if I can, because sometimes I'm not home and I don't want to leave the machine on for too many days just in case. It has a setting that you can turn on the machine by itself. So every morning it turns on by itself. You have to keep it running. The more film we run, the better. Yeah, we just usually run film once a week or twice a week.
Is it pretty expensive to keep the machine up? Do you guys spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month on chemical, or is it actually pretty economical?
It's actually, way economical. For us, it worked great because we have control over the chemistry and then save a lot of money that way on the quantity we shoot.
That's great. And I think it's really empowering, if you think about it, to go out. I mean, if you're a regular, typical wedding photographer and you're shooting film, And let's say you shoot 30 rolls at a wedding. Some people shoot more, some people shoot less, just say 30, okay? What's a typical lab going to charge? It's going to be $25 a roll to get it developed and have a scan done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do the math. You can buy a developing machine and pay for it in a couple weddings. I mean, really, if you think about it, let's do talk about your scan process. So you develop your own stuff. The machine spits out the negative done. It's already dried. It's ready to go, right?
Uh-huh.
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to hang it up in a Jobo drying rack or do anything funky. It just comes out. You clean it. And then you guys have your own scanners. So let's talk about you scanning using the Fuji SP2500 comparable to people that think, oh, I got to scan. You know, they got to sit there with a flatbed or some Nikon film scanner that sort of does six frames at a time. You guys are using a real full-blown mini lab scanner.
Yeah.
And this gives you complete control again of the whole process. And I think that's a really big thing with bringing this into the digital environment, because everybody wants their pictures on a disc, or they want a file for this, or they want pictures for Facebook. The stuff's got to be scanned no matter what. And I think this is a big thing that you can really change the way the picture looks and the way the negative is scanned in the scanner itself. So let's talk about how you guys do your own scanning. Is it hard? Was it a steep learning curve? Tell me about that.
Actually, it takes time, like everything. I've been actually scanning all my weddings for the past few years. Of course, I improved a lot, but you have to be able to know color. That's basically, if you see color and know what you want out of the negative, that's one thing. Because a lot of people tell me, oh, I want to get my own scanner, but I should let them know. It's not like you're going to put the negative in, the image is going to come out perfectly. You have to know how to use the machine. The machine has some things that you can do to make the image look good. So that's why I don't recommend people to have like their own scanner unless they know what they're doing.
Well, it's more work. Then again, too, you have to train on this stuff. I mean, if you buy one off of eBay for $2,000 or $3,000, and you don't buy it from a local dealer, I mean, I'm sure if you buy a used one from a local dealer, they're going to help you at least set it up and come over and give you an idea. And then you need to sit down and try to figure this stuff out. You got to master the Fuji software, because this thing runs off a PC, right? Then there's a scanner head, and then there's software that you need to adjust. Every picture, every frame needs to be adjusted, correct?
Yeah, it's not like one of those simple flatbed scanners you can buy at Best Buy. It's simple, but actually at the same time, it's very complex. It has a lot of settings that you have to learn. So it works for some people, for some people, you know, too much. So that's why I tell some people, sometimes just leave it to the pros. I know Rich's Photo Lab, they do great work. They're great at scanning, because it takes time to learn the workflow. Plus, you're not only dealing with a scanner, you're also dealing with dust. Dust and scratches, because that scanner does not have visual eyes. So that's definitely an issue that you have to try to control the dust in the room where the scanner is. So that's another issue to deal with. And we were able to get a pretty good setup and makes for dust a minor issue. It's just not a big problem.
No, like you said, I mean, if you can set up a room in your studio that's a clean room, put some fans in it so it's pressurized, there won't be no dust in the room. But like you said, a lot of people, it's easier just to send your stuff off to Richard or some other great lab and the stuff comes back. But then again, I don't know what the final cost is, but what do you figure it costs you guys to develop a roll of film by the time you pay for chemical? It's like, what, a buck? 50 cents?
About probably 50 cents tops.
And basically, you put the stuff in the machine, it sucks it through, and you walk away. How long does it take you to scan a roll of 36?
A 36? It just depends. It depends on how big you want to scan it.
But if you go all the way to the biggest size, it's going to take you an hour?
The biggest size, maybe 40 minutes on a roll of 35. It just depends how fast you can do the color. That's one thing.
Right.
Because if you spend too much time on each frame, that's a different story. But maybe 40 minutes, let's say, for one roll.
So, I mean, it does get economically priced to where you can actually do this stuff and save a fair amount of money. But like you said, it's all about what you want to spend your time on, and maybe you might want to go out and shoot more. Who knows? So either way, I think this is very unique that you guys are doing this, and I think it's very cool that you are able to shoot. You know what you're looking for. You know what you can adjust and change. And I think that's what some people don't realize or don't know if they don't develop. And I don't even think it's so much the development, because, I mean, you're not really playing too much stuff with the processor. But I mean, you pretty much have a basic C41 setting, and you run it through. You're not tweaking everything. You're not doing pull tests. It's not like you're doing Chrome.
No, I don't pull on the C41 or push. It's just straight out, do it in the camera. I'll do all the settings in the camera.
Right, but it does give you a possibility, because what you're doing is you know in your head that, okay, when I shoot this, I know I can adjust that yellow on those girls' shoes when I'm scanning it. I'm sure you probably see things now with color. It's like, wow, that orange over there is really poppy. I can tone it down, or guess what? I can make that blow up later. Mm-hmm. This is going to be cool.
Yeah, that's what I like about scanning my own film, because I should see certain situation and I know how it's going to look, because I've done it before, any type of lighting situations. In my head, I know how it's going to look because I've been scanning for such a long time that I can make it look just the way I imagine it. So that's the main reason why I like to have my own setup.
This is cool. So let's talk about your deliverables here. We'll just pick a wedding. So when you go out and do a wedding for someone, do they typically just hire Leo to shoot and you give them just scans and they're happy? Are you doing album designs? Are you doing proofs? What do you do for proofs? You have your own printer or you don't even give people proofs? It's like, here's the digital files.
Actually, I like to give people proofs because I just like the idea. I don't know. When I look at photographs, it's a totally different experience for me to look pictures in the computer or sitting down with friends and look at a paper because I feel a rush when I look at pictures in the computer. And people are like, oh, go back, go back. It's a totally different feeling than sit down with your friends. I like to have both. I want people to have the opportunity to have the digital file, of course, for Facebook and for their blogs. But also I want them to have it on paper to experience that. I don't know. That's something that I enjoy about film and print, just like the old school way.
So what do you do for prints? Do you guys have a printer in-house? Or are you farming the stuff out? Tell me what your workflow is when you're going to make these proofs for your clients.
Actually, there's a local lab that's the proofs for me. But actually, I'm looking into just have my own printer as well. Just complete the setup, just so I can develop some prints. So that's something I'm looking into. I already got the place for it. And then hopefully soon I'll have a setup because, yeah, that would be the final step to have complete control over the product that I want to create.
Well, plus too, and I mean, you have a digital printer. Now you can go in there and print all kinds of little special things for special events or even special cards for a wedding to hand out to people. You can do a lot of things with your own printer that people don't have the option to do unless you just do everything on inkjet. People just don't walk into their back room and fire up their mini lab and spit out some prints.
Yeah.
Leo, let's talk about your photography itself. So, Leo, tell me here about why you think people are hiring you to shoot their weddings. Is it because you're shooting film? They're looking for a film shooter? Do you think it's because you have a very relaxed, laid-back look to your photography? It doesn't look like a stage deal. It looks like they're just hanging out with their friends. Why do you think they're hiring Leo?
I think it's just because of the look of the images. I don't know if people realize it's because of the film, but it's just they like the colors. Just I hear from people, oh, I love your color. And I just let them know the reason why the colors look like that is because I shoot film, and I also process it myself. I don't send it to any labs. It's more like a personalized thing. I shoot your event, but also once the event is done, I'll go to my place and I'll develop the film and work on your wedding. So whatever colors I saw on the wedding day, it will be on the digital file as well.
They're more complete. I mean, they hire Leo and guess what? It's end to end and they know you're doing everything. Yeah. So I guess once they actually see this stuff and they get drawn in by the great photography, then of course, when they get a chance to talk to you, it's like, okay, well, this is crazy because this guy's going to shoot my wedding. And then on top of it, he's going to be able to do anything that needs to be done to fix whatever. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think that most of the weddings I get is from referrals. And I enjoy so much to shoot weddings because I come from a very strong family. Every time there's a party at my house, we're all there, no matter what. And I know how important that weddings and family pictures because we always put a lot of importance to it. So every time I shoot a wedding, I just want to make sure I do the best I can because my family is the most important thing to me. So I know for those people, it is as well. That's the reason why I shoot film. If you combine great portrait with the film, it just creates timeless images. And that's the reason why I love wedding photography.
No, I think that's cool. So let's talk about some of your other interests here. I mean, you also post some pretty cool photos when you're out traveling around. You've been doing a lot of traveling lately.
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot. Actually, most of the weddings this year I have, they're out of state. I think I'm only shooting 3 or 4 weddings in Utah at all. So the rest is just out of the country. I've been in Singapore last month for a really cool wedding. And then all over the West, and I actually have a wedding in Chicago in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, it's been pretty cool just to travel around and see different kinds of weddings and just get different people from different places. So it's great. And every time I go on a trip, I make sure I bring my camera because I like to just walk around and do personal work because I believe like personal work is what's going to make me a better photographer. To me, the way I see photography, I don't do it just for a job. It's my passion. So I have to keep shooting, otherwise I feel like empty. So I think personal work is what keeps me want to keep shooting more.
No, I mean, that's great. I mean, it's so cool to see your passion, and you can just hear the passion in your voice when you talk about this stuff. And anybody that's going to go to the point to where you're going to get your own developing, processing, and scanning, and doing all this stuff, and then actually want to get a printer, you can definitely tell you're into the whole process from beginning to end. It's even more than just capturing the image. I think you actually enjoy the process. It's a craft. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell me about some personal projects that keeps you fresh. I mean, you do shoot a lot of weddings. You do like to shoot portraits, but you also do this great travel photography. Like you said, when you're traveling around, you got to have a camera with you. Is there any kind of projects you would like to do that you've been wanting to do that you haven't had a chance to go shoot? Is there something you want to do photographically that you really haven't had the chance to do yet, Leo?
Well, I'm from Argentina, so I try to go there like once a year. So at some point, I would like to just keep shooting in Argentina. It's just like part of my life. I lived there 14 years, and my parents are from there. My sisters are from there. So I just enjoy shooting there. So that's one of the projects I have, shoot the place over the years. I might even photograph how places change over time. So I think that's something I always do. That's going to be like one of my projects, is shoot where I'm from and the people there. Also, I like different places in general. I just like to photograph stuff that people might not think it's interesting and just make it look cool. Because I believe any city, any place is worth seeing. So I just love to walk around. That's what I enjoy doing. That's what keeps me going. It's just the next corner is going to be something amazing. That's what I enjoy doing. Probably be doing this forever.
No, this is great stuff. So, Leo, why don't you give everybody the address to your website? You have beautiful images up. You got a cool blog that just shows some really cool photography when you're out and about all over the world shooting this cool stuff. And how people can get a hold of you and just check out what you're doing, because I think you're very enthusiastic about photography, more even so with shooting analog. And I think people would really like to learn how you guys were able to do this stuff and you have your own lab. I mean, this is really cool to be able to do everything yourself. And I think most people would be scared, but this is cool stuff that you guys are up to and you're just doing beautiful stuff. So where do people find out about what Leo's doing and go look at all this great photography?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's leopatronphotography.com, and also have a blog. It's leopatronphotography.blogspot.com. And the blog I post, I try to keep updated and just put images like personal work and professional work. Also, for people interested in getting into film, because I hear a lot of people actually trying to get back to shooting film, which is a good thing. So keep film alive. It's important to me. So my friend, Jonathan Canlis, he's teaching a workshop. He's been on your program before. I just always like to let people know because he's a great teacher. If people that are interested in learning how to shoot film, it's just like the whole process, they should definitely check him out. His website is Jonathan Canlis Photography, and then he has a link for the workshop right there. I want people to keep shooting film, so I'll keep shooting it, and hopefully more people will.
No, I think more people are getting fed up with digital. They're wanting to get back to a true craft. I definitely look forward to seeing you coming up here in July. Jonathan's going to be doing his workshop again, but this year in San Francisco. I'm assuming you're going to be there. It's going to be cool to be able to hang out.
Yeah, I will be there. It's in July. I believe it's 14, 15, or 16. I can't remember exactly, but it's in mid-July.
Yeah, this is good stuff, and it's going to be fun to hang out with you guys again. It's just great to talk to you, Leo, about your passion for analog photography and to see all this great stuff you guys are doing. And I do really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day, because I know that you've been slaving there in the lab and scanning and developing stuff today. And just thanks so much for joining us. And this is great stuff, and I definitely look forward to having you guys back on Inside Analog Photo. We're going to see you at the workshop, Film Is Not Dead, coming up in San Francisco. And just great work you're doing, buddy.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I appreciate you having this type of show. It's just keeping film alive. And it's just fantastic. Because seriously, it would be so sad if people stopped shooting a period. Because it's so many years. It's like, that's how photography was invented on film. So it's just, I appreciate so much that you do this. It's great.
I really appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much. And we look forward to talking again, Leo.
All right. Thanks so much.
Well, there you go. Leo Patron. Isn't that cool? Great stuff going on, Leo. Beautiful photography. Great insight into how they're developing and scanning their own product. Really cool workflow. Check his website out. Great stuff. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. And of course, the Inside Analog Photography radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm over at FujifilmUSA.com/professional. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab at RichardPhotoLab.com. Our friends at DR5 at DR5.com. Upstrap at Upstrap-Pro.com. And our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group over at www.apug.org. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.